Good morning. I keep hearing this one phrase, release the prophetic, release the prophetic. I really believe it's time that the prophetic is released into this earthly plane, changing the awareness that people have had of the Father of life. And we release it not just with our words, but the release comes from our hearts and how they're positioned before God. The Word of God and its fulfillment doesn't just happen to us, it happens through us. And God is preparing our hearts, creating an atmosphere where that prophetic word can live and breathe and manifest. We talk about the prophetic, we're talking about light. We're talking about an atmosphere where the Father can be seen as he really is. We're talking about a place where God's will can flow and change human thinking, where it's not only being aware of his acts. You can have his acts and not have a prophetic atmosphere. But for the ways of the Lord to be understood and received, you need that prophetic atmosphere. And God wants to be received in this hour. He wants his people to know him in a personal, intimate way. He wants the barrier of religion to be removed and that living relationship that he desires to have with us take its place. That's what the prophetic realm is all about. In the Old Testament, the prophets, of course, were under the Old Covenant. And often you hear them speaking words of judgment. And the prophetic ministry in the Old, you read the Old Testament, is very central. It was always a wake-up call to the people. Now remember, under the Old Covenant, we were separated from God by a perfect law, a perfect standard. So the prophets would speak and make people aware of that perfect standard and reveal how people had fallen away from the heart of the Father. So there is a lot about judgment. But really what the prophets were doing under the Old Covenant was one thing, preparing people for the truth that we need a Savior. It was really to prepare hearts, saying the standard of a perfect law you've fallen short of, you need help with. We can't get there by ourselves. Now you read the New Testament, the prophetic ministry is just as important and needed. But you don't find as many scriptures about it. In the New, it's not centered around judgment of sin, because Jesus resolved that issue on the cross. The New Covenant prophet is to bring people an awareness of what New Covenant life means. It's to bring us a revelation, it's a spirit of revelation of what the grace of God, the love of God, are to mean to our lives. That New Covenant prophetic makes us aware that God's relationship with the human race changed when Jesus went to the cross. No longer did he view us with the eye of judgment because we'd fallen short of the law, but Jesus fulfilled what we could not do, and that the relationship changed to one of a barrier between us and God, to God having a perfect oneness with us, John 17. New covenant life is all about a relationship that Jesus created between us and the Father. We've been reconciled. Nothing can break that. So we need the prophetic to make the ways of the Lord and what was established on the cross our reality. And as Shelley was sharing that vision this morning, it's just bright, blinding light. It's going to just be coming forth more and more in the darkness we see in the world. Now, I want us to look at the prophet Daniel in just a minute, because it's funny, we're going to go to an Old Testament prophet to get insight into what a New Testament prophet moves in. One thing, again, it's important to realize that the prophetic changes our awareness. You remember Elisha with his servant, and when the armies came to take Elisha, the servant was afraid. Now, what did Elisha do? What did the prophetic do in that case? He laid hands on the servant and said, "Father, open his eyes." And then the servant was aware of something different. He was aware of the heavenly realm. and how much greater God was in the enemy. So the prophetic didn't change the circumstance. It changed the awareness of a person's thinking. That's very key and important. I'm not saying we don't speak to the storms and God doesn't want to bring a lot of the storms to an end. He will. His kingdom's going to reign over this earth. But when we're really caught up in the prophetic of New Covenant life, our focus isn't on storms. Our focus is on the renewal of our minds, seeing things the way God sees them. And when we see things the way God sees them, a new perspective, we're able to sleep in the boat, or we can wake up and speak to the storm to stop, and it stops. We have authority to be in both places. Let's look at Daniel. Interesting, with Daniel was taken captive along with others from his own land, brought into Babylon, which was an evil kingdom, run by an evil king, Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel was not only brought over captive, that's not bad enough, he was put in service to the king. In a sense, you could say he was serving this evil king and this evil empire. What's remarkable to me in reading the book of Daniel is his focus, and also Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his friends. His focus was not on bringing Babylon down, but on serving God and having a right heart. And in creating that atmosphere, he was in a place to hear the word of God and for that bondage to end. We're talking about Daniel 9. So again, where is the focus of our heart? We want to move in the prophetic. We want to bring down Babylon. We want to see all this evil erased. Okay, is the prophetic a focus on that? I think we've carried a lot of frustration with the world we live in. Who wouldn't be frustrated? There's futility out there. But to be a prophet is not to be focused on the negative, to be focused on serving God and what he wants from our spirit. And when that is the atmosphere we have in the earth, that is an atmosphere for God's word to be fulfilled. And what is his word? His kingdom. That stone cut out of the mountain without hands will bring everything down. His presence will fill the entire planet. We're not to live in frustration and feel and take this, I would call it this crushing burden of, I've got to change the world we're in. We just need to learn how to have a right heart before God, like Daniel. And when that climate is established between us and the Father, God's word can move in a mighty, powerful way, change things very quickly. Chapter 9, Daniel. Remember, I read this last week. It was so good. I'm going to read it again. It says, I, Daniel, was meditating on the scriptures that gave, according to the word of God to the prophet Jeremiah, the number of years Jerusalem had to lie in ruins, namely 70. I poured out my heart, bearing my soul to God. My God, act out of who you are, not of what we are. Okay, here we see, this is a change now. Daniel's looking and saying, wait a minute. 70 years are up here. We need to be released from this captivity. And we know that God did that. So he's in a place to become aware of what word is to be fulfilled in what season. This frustrates, I think, a lot of people. We look at the Bible and we see all these promises and we feel like not that much is happening. We got to make this happen, that happen. We are not good at determining the timing of God. And it's not something you're really going to get better at, because Jesus told them in Acts 1, you're not going to know the timing. We just need to be an atmosphere for God's word to be fulfilled through. God knows in what season each word has its fulfillment. We don't have to live in frustration. We can live in rest, knowing that all we have to have is hearts prepared to be that prophetic community, that when God wants to do something, we're just like that instrument in his hands. He can flow through us and see it established. So Daniel 9, that's what's happening. Daniel's aware that a word is to be fulfilled. Now what happens? Does he start yelling at God saying, okay, time's up? No. He humbles his heart before God. He bears his soul. He's in a spirit of repentance before God. And I love this statement. Act out of who you are, not of what we are. When we're in that prayer and the prophetic is taking place, we're aware of who God is, and we're not living under condemnation of our human state. We're set free from that. Then he says, turn your ears our way. Listen. Master, listen to us. Master, forgive us. Master, look at us and do something. Okay. Turn your ears to us. We all want God to hear us. You got to couple that with, Father, forgive us. If we're in an attitude of repentance, we have an ear to hear what the Spirit is speaking, and we know that God is listening. Gabriel came to Daniel and told him, Daniel, I have come to make things plain to you. That's how God wants to make it in the prophetic. He wants to speak his word and there not be confusion. They're made plain to us. What does that mean? Spirit of revelation. Revealing to our heart the ways of the Father. He said, you had no sooner started your prayer when the answer was given. And we covered this last week. Because Daniel's heart was right before God, just as the words before they even came out of his mouth, God was bringing the answer. In Daniel 10, we read, from the moment you decided to humble yourself, to receive understanding, your prayer was heard, and I set out to come to you. From the moment you decided to humble yourself. Again, that activates the prophetic. Daniel 12, speaking of those, and I believe it's the prophetic community, who are spiritually wise will shine brightly like the brightness of heaven. The prophetic community is going to be a light in the darkness of this world. Let's look at Daniel, and we're going to look at a few of the qualities, I think, that make up this heart of the prophetic. In Daniel chapter 1, you don't have to do any reading. You can read later. You remember Daniel and his friends refused the king's diet. And that was a big issue. The ones that were serving the king said, listen, you better not do that. I mean, you better eat what he wants you to eat. It's great food. But Daniel said, no, we have a diet that God's given us to eat. And he refused to compromise that. He told the other people, he said, listen, let's do this for a while. Was it 10 days? I'm not sure how long. And look and see who's healthier. And, of course, those that were on the diet that God had given Daniel were healthier than the ones that ate on the king's diet. Now, why is this important? In the prophetic, we come to depend more on God's provision than the provision we see in the world. And there is a spirit out there that tries to intimidate and make you feed off the world system, off the spirit of the age, telling you you really need it. We don't. In the prophetic way, we need to understand God's provision for our lives and not compromise that provision. How does he want to nurture you? How does he want to feed you? What is he speaking to your heart? Don't compromise that. Don't let the spirit of the age get in the way and let other voices come and take that place. Because when you're feeding off God's diet, you're going to be the healthiest you can be. And it's a testimony to others. In Daniel chapter 1, again, it became a testimony to the king and to those around that there was a true God around. Chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And he tells his people again, you all know the story. You know, I need this dream interpreted. He says, but I'm not going to let you just try to interpret it. Tell me first what I dreamt, then interpret it. So he made sure it had to be a supernatural revelation that came forth. Daniel's the only one that can do it. And you see that prophetic is so important because it reveals the heart of people. What was Nebuchadnezzar asking for? Here's this evil guy that somehow deep down inside he receives this vision of history unfolding. And of course the dream involved the fall of different empires and how, remember the last part, there'd be this rock cut out of the mountain, not tainted with human hands, that would cover the entire world, the earth, talking about the kingdom of God coming forth. Who's getting this vision? Nebuchadnezzar. Is he seeking God? No. But God decides to plant that vision in him. Daniel unlocks it. The prophetic is going to unlock the wisdom of what God is doing. And what Nebuchadnezzar was asking for when he said, you've got to tell me the dream, inside he was saying, you've got to show me what's in my heart. Someone's got to get through here. I don't want just my wise men giving me different interpretations of this means that, and you have all these symbols. You tell me what's in my heart. Only God can do that. And we see the prophets arise in this hour and that atmosphere arise. It's going to expose and reveal the hearts of people, the mysteries that are inside. What's the result of that? The king says, your God is beyond question, the God of all gods. Spirit of revelation came to reveal Nebuchadnezzar's heart. And he received a revelation of who the true God was. Daniel chapter 4, the same king has a dream. This is about him becoming insane. Remember, for a number of years, he was like, says, a beast of the field. And he regained his sanity in the end. And oh, Daniel has to interpret this for him. Can you imagine telling a king that? But what's important is this. Daniel comes before the king. He said, I wish this dream were about your enemies and its interpretation for your foes. It's one thing to have courage to speak the word of God, knowing that it's not going to be popular. It's another thing to have a right spirit. Like Daniel, he looked at Nebuchadnezzar and he said, you know, this Nebuchadnezzar was not walking with God, but there was no vengeance in Daniel's heart. Daniel had been ripped out of his homeland, taken away captive. He looks at this king and he says, I wish this word wasn't for you. Wish it was for your enemies. What kind of heart does that? In other words, he saw what was going to happen to the king. He could have gloated and saying, you deserve it. If anyone deserves to be driven insane, you deserve it. The king's ego was so great. Yet Daniel had a broken spirit and a humility and said, I wish this wasn't happening for you. When we are thinking about the judgments that must come in the earth, what's our attitude? Are we gloating, saying, oh, that's it, God, go get them? I hope not, because judgment starts first at the house of God. I'm crying out for mercy. We need that heart of Daniel. That's the heart of a prophet. Not looking for vengeance, but saying, God, forgive. God, show your mercy. And that's what Daniel was extending to the king. Daniel chapter 6, this is a King Darius now. This is the one with the lion's den. And you remember the background. There were those that served the king that were jealous of Daniel. They wanted to get rid of him, and they couldn't. God's favor was with Daniel. So they came up with this whole thing of, you know, for a certain amount of time, was it a month, whatever, the only prayer would be about the king. In other words, they were saying Daniel would have to stop his prayer life to God to obey the king's edict. And of course, Daniel refused to compromise. And the heart of a prophet and the heart of the prophetic community is there is no compromise with the truth. The word of God is what's sure. We don't try to dumb it down to fit into the age. We hold the standard up. The prophet holds the standard of what God is speaking up. Now, the king is sorrowful because he has to put Daniel to death because Daniel disobeyed his word. So Daniel's put in this den with lions, and of course, nothing happens to him. And the king is glad to see that. And the ones that put him there were cast into the den of lions, and the lions devoured them. But what I want us to look at is, when we're in that right state of heart before God, and in the prophetic, it's able to shut the mouths of lions and open the eyes of kings. The enemy is like a lion seeking who he might devour. The prophetic shuts the mouth of the lion. It shuts the mouth of the liar. It closes a door and begins to release people from the negativity and the lies and the condemnation and the guilt. At the same time, it opens the eyes of kings. Here King Darius was able to see who the true God was. He said, Daniel's God shall be worshipped. He is the living God. His kingdom never fails. 1 Peter 1:19. We actually heard that voice speaking from heaven. Peter's speaking. He's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. Now we're talking about the prophetic atmosphere. We heard that voice speaking while we were with him on that sacred mountain. The word of prophecy was fulfilled in our hearing. You should give that word your closest hearing, for it shines like a lamp amidst all the dirt and darkness of the world. The ultimate goal of the prophetic is the end of darkness. But as it's being established, the focus of those in that atmosphere is on simply shining as a light. And here Peter is saying, we're on that mountain, we heard the word. This is what God wants for us. He wants us to be on that spiritual plane where we can hear the voice of God and pay close attention to what God is speaking. In the prophetic, you're drawn to what he's speaking and being a watchman on the wall, watching over those words, paying attention to what God is speaking. So much is being said, and with the internet and all these opinions and politics and all the voices out there, we all get tired of it. But the one voice we need to pay attention to is the voice of the Spirit. He goes and he talks about being a light amidst all the dirt and darkness of the world. It's the one light you have in a dark time as you wait for daybreak and the rising of the morning star in your hearts. The prophetic is that light we have inside as we wait for daybreak. What is daybreak? Christ coming forth fully in the earth. The morning star rising in our heart. Again, it's about Jesus Christ coming forth. So how are we to wait for his second coming? Wait for what he's doing. Prophetic word in our heart. Tending to that word, letting that word be the light in us. In the last part it says, no prophecy or scripture is a matter of private opinion. Why? It's not something concocted in the human heart. Prophecy resulted when the Holy Spirit prompted people to speak God's word. Truly, the prophetic is not about people's opinions, about what people think should happen or shouldn't happen. It's one thing. It's the Holy Spirit revealing the heart and the mind of the Father. What do we need to know about the prophetic community? We're to be a part of it. That clarity of revelation, of knowing God's heart and mind, he's saying, I want to share this with you. I've given you the Holy Spirit that he can lead you into all truth, to disclose to you all that I am. Those that live in that prophetic awareness will have this beautiful closeness with the Father, to really know the nature of the Father. And that light will break all darkness. That light will expand and will not be able to be contained. Amen. Lord bless you this morning.